Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, my guest, Tom Horn, and I've interviewed him previously on his book in reference to the Malachi prophecies and the current pope, but that was mild compared to this new book that we have got the we've been exclusively given the privilege of being the first to offer this book. It's called Zenith 2016. On yesterday's broadcast, we found out that the organization behind Freemasons has a God. It's not Jesus. It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it's a God the New Testament refers to as the Antichrist. I know this is hard to believe because I have relatives that are Masons. You have relatives that are Masons. But we found out the lower-level Masons, which is most of them, don't even have this secret information. I've always thought that all of the founders of the United States, or most of them, were Christians. But you say the influential ones were Masons, and they had this secret plan to inaugurate the Antichrist. Tell me about the early founders of our country.
Well, that's absolutely true, and nobody will be able to read this book and doubt that, because we only use substantial, even government records, to verify the points that we make, how we uncovered members of the Masonic Order from over 200 years ago who were, in fact, committed to a plan. And by the way, up until this present hour, there remained those who would call themselves true believers in this ancient scheme. And what's even more interesting, and that's why the titles, you know, that's why the dates 2012 and 2016 are on the cover of the book, is they even had dates they've been predicting for hundreds of years, and other occult societies for thousands of years, in which they believed that this occult dream would be launched. So to answer your question, what I did was I started in this research, going back and establishing the fact that there was an occult vision. And this was a small group of men. It didn't represent most Americans. It just represented a majority of those who were signers of the Declaration of Independence. And at least probably 56 of those who were signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. And they were dedicated to setting aside this new continent according to what they called an Atlantean scheme. This vision was based on the works of Sir Francis Bacon. Bacon was an occultist. He was an English philosopher. He was an author. He was a Rosicrucian. But his most famous book was New Atlantis, and this was published in the 1600s. And what it did was it portrayed a very specific utopian vision. And it was one that the European secret societies became obsessed with. And basically, it's a vision of a world government, a new world order, that would be established on the what Bacon believed was the enlightened grandeur of ancient Atlantis. Now, in Europe at the time, there were really powerful intellectuals, and they were kind of being dogged over there as occultists. And so what they did was they set their eyes on America, the new world, where Bacon's strategy could be unimpeded by those political realities in his home on homeland. This is a fact that is established by Freemasonry's own greatest writers. For instance, Manly P. Hall. He's considered to be the greatest philosopher ever in Freemasonry. He was a 33rd degree Freemason. And he wrote about how Bacon had garnered this impressive following of wealthy Europeans who became dedicated to building the new Atlantis in America, because he realized that here it was fresh, it was unimpeded, it was, you know, it was beyond the Wild West. It was just a new continent. They could come here, they could, you know, they could take the land away from the Indians, all of that, and they could establish their great dream of building this philosophic empire. Now, they referred to it, and this is partly where we get this language in the United States, they referred to it as a new world democracy. But this was an occult version of democracy that would ultimately usher in a new golden age wherein men would commingle with and be led by the wisdom of the gods. In fact, when you read Bacon's Atlantis, it's hard to imagine that he's not thinking about that ancient story of the Watchers, because he talks so much about us commingling. Even our genetics, I mean, we're being blended with the gods themselves to give birth to a new form of man on the earth. So it's
now, those that are not familiar with the Watchers, explain.
The Watchers, that's a story that goes back into the legends of every great culture, back to the beginning of time. It's a story of gods that descended down from heaven, and they materialized in bodies of flesh. And this is a story that's told from Rome to Greece, before that to Egypt, Persia.
Yeah, but the Bible talks about the Nephilim. That's the same story in the Bible.
It's the same story. In fact, I make the case that these other cultures basically robbed this story from an original revelation that was given to the Hebrews. But the Hebrews talked about them. They called them watchers. Daniel refers to them as watchers. In the book of Genesis, they're called the B'nai HaElohim, or the sons of God. But it's the story of these very powerful angels who left their first estate, left the place in heaven where they were supposed to stay, came down to the earth, mingled themselves with humans, and they gave birth to these part celestial, part terrestrial hybrids known as the Nephilim, the giants. Now, the Bible says it happened when men began to increase on the earth. Daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw the women's beauty, and they decided to take wives from among them to sire their unusual offspring. You can read about that in Genesis 6:4. But when that scripture is conferred with ancient texts from all over the world, the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Barak, the Genesis Apocryphon, which is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls that was found, Philo, Josephus, the Jewish historian, Jasher, all these other ancient records tell the same story, that these gods came down and they created the mighty men which were of old, these giants that were the offspring of this unholy union. Some of the texts outside of the Bible that complement the book of Genesis and that are accepted in some versions of the older Bibles tell us that they were part human, part animal genetics, and some even...
Well, that's the most amazing thing, because in your book you talk about how our government and we are funding university studies to combine animals with humans and come out up with some sort of transhuman.
We absolutely are. In fact, we should do a whole show on that sometime, Sid. People would just be blown away if they know what is going on right now in the U.S. government. For instance, I doubt that the average listener to this show knows that in this year's operating DARPA budget, the 2013 DARPA, which is an acronym that stands for the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, it's a very well-known department of the U.S. government, in their operating budget this year, there is millions of dollars set aside to create the blueprint for rewriting the DNA of our soldiers for the purpose of creating, battlefield super soldiers, but the rewriting of our soldiers' DNA. Why would they want a blueprint to change the genetic makeup of our soldiers? Well, we can get into that more in this show.
Oh, okay. No, let's get it. But I want to know, these early founders of America, our founding fathers, so to speak, why did they design Washington, D.C. based on Mason symbols?
Well, because they were Freemasons and they were deists. Most of these signers of the Declaration of Independence were not Christian in the traditional sense the way we would think of them today. For instance, George Washington's own pastor, when he did go to church, wrote in his own memoir that, as far as he knew, George Washington was a really good man. He was nice to Christians. He was all that. But he wasn't a Christian. He was a deist. And that's true of so many of these other founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson, if people want to know why Thomas Jefferson has his own version of the Bible, what's called the Jefferson Bible, it's because he did not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. He did not believe that he rose from the dead. He did not believe that he was a sacrificial lamb. He didn't believe in any of the miracles. He thought that all of that was a corruption of an ancient text that simply told the story of this great guy by the name of Jesus, and he thought it was phooey. And so he.
How about Ben Franklin?
Oh, now Ben Franklin is another story altogether. He was committed to some very dark, maybe even satanic activity. I know that. Yeah, that's kind of hard for people to think about because he was one of the influential founding fathers.
This is an entirely different spin, if you will, of what I've been taught my whole life. I was taught all these founding fathers were strong Christians. That's why we had such a great country.
Well, Benjamin Franklin, he did a lot of good things, like you're saying. He signed the Declaration of Independence. He was responsible for part of the Treaty of Paris, the U.S. Constitution. He facilitated the American Revolution by publishing the writings of Thomas Paine, who was another guy who completely rejected all of the divinity of Christ. But he was also, without question, deeply involved in Freemasonry and secret societies. He belonged to secret groups on three continents that were involved in the War of Independence. But he was a master, for instance, of the Masonic Lodge of Philadelphia.
And I'll tell you what, we're out of time right now, but we've been given the high privilege of being exclusive to be the first to offer this brand new book, Zenith 2016. And it really shows that 2016, we will reach the zenith, and the plans and the strategy, they cannot be a secret for you. We're offering this brand new book and a DVD and a CD on the subject for a gift of $40.
To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.